peered at it, and then licked it with theatrical care. The watching soldiers laughed. "No," he said at last. "No, I have to say that I don't feel the least apprehensive. Is this as cold as steel gets? Lord Rust was probably being metaphorical, sire." "But the man's a complete incompetent." "Indeed, sire." "And we're about to set thousands of our countrymen against one another, aren't we?" "Indeed, sire." "So what does the maniac want to do? Tell me there's no hard feelings?"
"Broadly speaking, sire, yes. I understand the motto of his old school was, 'It matters not that you won or lost, but that you took part.'"
The prince's lips moved as he tried this out once or twice. Finally he said,
"And knowing this, people still take orders from him?"
"It would seem so, sire."
Prince Kadram shook his head. "We can learn from Ankh-Morpork," his father had said. "Sometimes we can learn what not to do." And so he'd set out to learn. First, he'd learned that Ankh-Morpork had once ruled quite a slice of Klatch. He'd visited the ruins of one of its colonies. And so he'd found out the name of the man who had been audacious enough to do this, and had got agents in Ankh-Morpork to find out as much about him as possible. General Tacticus, he'd been called. And Prince Kadram had read a lot and remembered everything, and tactics had been very, very useful in the widening of the empire. Of course, this had its own drawbacks. You had a border, and across the border came bandits, so you sent a force to quell the bandits, and in order to stamp them out, you had to take over their country. And soon you had another restless little vassal state to rule. And now that had a border, over which came, sure as sunrise, a fresh lot of raiders. So your new tax-paying subjects were demanding protection from their brother raiders, neglecting to pay their taxes and doing a little light banditry on the side. And so once again you stretched your forces, whether you wanted to or not, he sighed. For the serious empire builder there was no such thing as a final frontier. There was only another problem. If only people would understand. Nor was there such a thing as a game of war. General Tacticus knew that. Learn about your opposite number, yes, and respect his abilities, if he had them, certainly. But never pretend that afterwards you were going to meet up for a drink and charge-by-charge replay.
"He could well be insane, sire," the general went on.
"Oh, good.
However, I'm told that he recently referred to Klatchians as the finest soldiers in the world, sire."
"Really?"
"He added, when led by white officers, sire."
"Oh."
"And we are offering him breakfast, sire. It would be most impolite of him to refuse."
"What a good idea. Have we got an adequate supply of sheep's eyes?"
"I took the liberty of telling the cooks to save some up for this very eventuality, sire."
"Then we must see he gets them. After all, he will be our honoured guest. Well, let us do this thing properly. Please try to look as if you hate the taste of cold steel." The Klatchians had set up an open-sided tent on the sand between the two armies. In the welcome shade a low table had been laid. Lord Rust and his company were already waiting, and had been for more than half an hour. They stood up and bowed awkwardly as Prince Kadram entered. Around the tent the Klatchian and Ankh-Morpork honour guards eyed one another suspiciously, every man trying to get the drop on the others.
Tell me, do any of you gentlemen speak a Klatchian?
Said Prince Kadram, after the lengthy introductions. Lord Rust's grin stayed fixed.
Hornet, he hissed.
I'm not quite certain what he said, sir, said the lieutenant nervously.
I thought you knew Klatchian.
I can read it, sir. That's not the same.
Oh, don't worry, said the prince. As we say in Klatch, this clown's in charge of an army? Around the tent, the Klatchian generals suddenly went poker-faced.
Hornet?
Something...